Amen. Good morning to everyone. Amen. I thank God for this day, another day that he has allowed us to assemble together and to worship his holy name. Amen. I thank God again for each and every one of you for being here this morning. Amen. It's a blessing that you got up and made an effort to come and praise God and hear his word. It's a lot going on in the world. Amen. Amen. It's a lot going on in the world. Amen. We don't know the day nor the hour that the Lord shall appear. But man, if you're ready, you don't have to worry about it. Amen. You ain't got to worry about it if you're ready. Amen. Our speaker for this morning is Minister O'Bannon. He's going to come and bring forth the word. As much as I love to teach and preach God's word, I also like to be fed and ministered to as well. Amen. I think that's what a lot of pastors have problems with, is that they do a lot of talking, a lot of speaking, but they don't utilize the associate ministers that they have in the house, which causes them to go unfed and not hearing the word of God. So I thank God that he gave me the mindset to share the microphone with associate ministers. And a lot of that has to do with the teaching that I came from underneath with my grandfather, who shared the microphone, the pulpit, with many pastors and ministers who have come, you know, underneath him. Amen. And he shared the microphone in the pulpit with them as well. So me seeing that, knowing that that's what I need to do as well, because God has a way of using each and every one of us in his own unique way to bring a word about, to speak to people, to reach people. Amen. Amen. And sometimes the message is for me, myself, and I. Amen. It's a word that I need to hear. Amen. So at this time, Minister O'Bannon, he's going to come, and he's going to bring us the word on this morning. Amen.
I got a question. Do y'all trust God? Do we trust God? If that time of the year again, where we all have to do our taxes, the state tax, federal tax, property tax, and we don't like to pay them, but we have to pay them, right? And also there is a rise of tax fraud, people forging other people's names. Okay, thank you. And also tax evasions. And the question is that, should we pay taxes or shouldn't we pay taxes? Are they raising taxes? And is it lawful not to pay taxes, or is it lawful? Is it a sin not to pay tithes? Is it sin not to? Or what happened? What would happen if I don't pay tithes or give my offerings? What would happen? That's a good question, right? So if you have your Bible, we're going to turn to Malachi, the third chapter. You may stand by the reading of God's word. Malachi, the third chapter, many of you probably already have it. Malachi, the third chapter says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation has." You may be seated. Wesley Snipes will be probably the most highest profile criminal person who have been accused of tax evasion. He made over $13.8 million 1 year, and the IRS questioned him to have, he was supposed to pay back $2.7 million in tax evasion. Then Richard Hacks in 2006 was the sole survivor of, was convicted for failing to pay his taxes of his $1 million prize winnings, resulting in him having to be in prison for 51 months. And then Richard Pryor in 1974 was accused of tax evasions, and which offense they led him 10 days in jail. Then Martha Stewart in 1994, she was ordered to pay the state of New York $200,000 for tax evasions. Willie Nelson, 1990, and you have Chuck Berry, which his story is kind of funny, but I don't want to go through all of it. But he was actually accused of tax evasion, and he spent several months in prison, and after that he had to pay, he had to do 1,000 hours of community service. And then you have Nicolas Cage at the age of 44. He was falsely writing off $3.3 million in personal charges to his company, which is called Saturn Productions. Don King, no one can ever forget him. In 1985, he was accused of 29 counts of tax evasions. And Mike Tyson was included in one of those as well. And then you have Red Fox. His story is funny, too, because to make a long story short, Red Fox said that I've been paying taxes all year long, and they've been taking taxes out of my check all year long, so why should I have to pay at the end of the year? So that was just so, and that's why they compensated all his belongings. So there are 4 points I'm going to try to come to try to help you all out about tithing. The first point is the situation. So what's the situation? The situation is robbery. What did they do in the Bible that caused God to say, you have robbed me, and even this whole nation have robbed me? A man can rob a bank and almost get away with it. A man can rob a store and almost get away with it. A man can do tax evasions and almost get away with it. But when a man... And almost that time, they all some of them get away, some of them don't get away. But in one sense, some of them do. But when a man robs God, there is nothing that goes without him knowing. Nothing. When a man robs God, it's almost a man taking his hand and backslapping God in the face and says, I'm not paying you. It's strange because he who supplies freely to all gets a backhand from man. In the face. God says, Malachi, you robbed me, and the whole nation has. So what did they do and what did they not do? Well, first of all, let me say this before I go on. There are 5 ways to not give. The first one is just simple, not give. You know, you just don't give at all, you know. You know that you can give, but you just don't give. Now, I'm not trying to accuse anybody here, but I'm just teaching the text here. Just not give. The second one is partial giving. And this is what Ananias and Sapphira was doing. Ananias and Sapphira was, they sold their land, but they sold to give a portion of it to the church. But what they did was they took a portion of a portion and gave it to God. You can't do that. You can't give a portion and then slice the portion in half and give it to God. That's a portion of a portion. That's partial giving. Another way is off and on giving. Well, I may give this month, and next month I may not give. I may give next year. You know, I just won't. So it's off and on giving. And then the fourth one is leftover. Y'all heard of that? Just leftover. Well, I got credit cards to pay. I got bills to pay. I got car payment. I got smoke my little marijuana, and I got alcohol, and I got to party with my friends. And then after that, After I gather everything up, all I got is a dollar. Well, I got 50 cents. So we giving God what's left over versus then what's off the top. Then the fourth one is just plain ignorant. Nobody told me. How much we supposed to give? Well, no, I didn't know we supposed to give. I thought they're supposed to ask first and then you give. God says, you robbed me, and even this whole nation have robbed me. So the question is that, how can I rob God, or how can we rob God, and or am I included? In the book of Genesis, it all began by, in the book of Genesis, when Abraham gave to Malachi, and the Bible says that it doesn't say what percentage that Abraham gave, but the Bible says that they made an exchange of offerings. They gave a tithe. So we're not quite sure, but it is also commanded by God in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament that we are to tithe. One guy told the pastor that said that tithing is not the New Testament. It's strange because it clearly states tithing is in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament. Because in the New Testament, all the Jewish males were to pay what is called temple tax. They would pay the temple tax. And what happened was, they actually set booths outside of the temple so everybody can pay their temple tax. And this is so because when Jesus and Peter was walking through the market, Peter paid his temple tax, but Jesus didn't. And follow me. Then the Bible says in Matthew, the 17th chapter, that one of the temple tax came to Peter and says, doesn't the teacher pay temple tax? And Peter says, yes. So, and we'll follow on later on that later on in this chapter, I think it's Matthew, the 22nd chapter, that what happened was Jesus pulled Peter in a house and they began to talk, and all of a sudden they found a coin in the fish. And when they found a coin in the fish, Jesus told Peter to go pay the what? Temple tax. The Bible says in Matthew, the 22nd chapter, when the Pharisees came to Jesus and says, what do you think? Should we pay taxes? And Jesus says, give me a coin. And he gave him a coin, and it has Caesar's head on there. And the Bible says that Jesus says, render unto Caesars what's due to Caesars, but render unto God what's due to God. See, Caesar was actually overtaxing people. They were paying over taxes, over temple tax, and they were paying taxes for just regular taxes at all. And some of these people could not pay taxes. So what they did was, to make a long story short, what they did was, if there was a man that was paying his taxes, what he had to do is he had to go sell his cow, his sheep, or his lamb, or his oxen, or his chicken, and sell it in the marketplace to try to pay his temple tax. Well, what happened was you have marketers who was actually being taxed as well too. So what they did was the person that was selling their ox, their sheep, their goats and whatever, they was not getting much from it, because what happened was if a goat or a cow costs $100, the marketer was actually buying it from them from $20. They weren't really making much money off that. So here you have Jesus, to bring the speed up, here you have Jesus watching all this going on. And he gets angry and he's frustrated. And this is why you hear the Bible says Jesus started turning over the tables. Because they were robbing people. They were taxing people for all sorts of things. And Jesus says, now y'all have turned my house of prayer into the den of thieves. He wasn't satisfied with that. So, therefore, the Israelites were required to pay taxes. And what happened also was that because people weren't paying their temple tax, what happened was this actually led the Levite priests to work for a living. They had to work for a living. And see, when they worked for a living, they couldn't take care of the temple. And there was a responsibility to take care of the temple. So because they couldn't do that and they had to work, so this came a real huge problem. And this was the situation about tithing. Now, we talked about the situation of tithing. Now we're going to talk about the address to the nation of tithing. This drove God to say to Malachi and the priests, you robbed me. And even this whole nation have robbed me. But for years, they weren't doing this. They weren't doing it according to what God's commands. And did y'all not know? Not paying your tithes, not paying your offerings, when you're financially able to, did you not know that is a sin? It is offense against God when you don't give back to God what he has blessed you with. I heard one guy on my job, we was talking, we started talking about money, we started talking about God and religion, and he said to me, he said, Michael, I believe in God, but I just don't believe in Jesus. I said, well, that's fine. We're on our lunch break. Let's go ahead and let's talk. So we got to talking, and all of a sudden he says, Michael, see, I just don't believe, and it's sort of kind of getting away from what I'm talking about today. But the guy said, Mike, I just don't believe how God can send somebody to hell just by not accepting Jesus. I said, okay, let's deal with that. I said, let me ask you a question. It wasn't a simple question, but it was a comment. I said to him, I said, what happened was Jesus was beat on. He was spit on. He was called all types of names. And he was he died on a cross. And the Bible says that the work is finished. Everything was finished. There was nothing else that you or I can do. Everything was completed. I said, but what happened was, is that you don't go to, see, y'all know one thing? God doesn't send somebody to hell just because they don't know Jesus. He won't. I'm going to say it again. God won't send somebody to hell just because they don't know Jesus. God will send somebody to hell, or they send their own self to hell, by not accepting the finished work of Christ. That's what we're sending to hell, because it's all been done. It's done. Let's say, for instance, let me give you an example. I come to my son. I said, son, you don't have to pay for college. I said, I worked overtime. I worked long hours at work. I worked two jobs. I said, son, college is paid for. You don't have to do nothing at all. Nothing. I said, think about it. My son, 2 or 3 days later, thinks about it. This is 18 and 19. And my son comes to me and said, Dad, I thought about what we talked about. I said, yes. Then my son says to me, he says, Dad, but I actually signed up for financial aid. I said, oh. I said, son, but you don't have to do nothing. He said, Dad, I already signed the papers. Everything's done. I said, but my son, he didn't accept me, but all he had to do was just accept the finished work that I have done. All he had to do was just pick a college. That's all he had to do. The work has been done. I work hard. I work long hours. All he had to do was just accept it and just go to school. So God doesn't send you to hell just because you don't know Jesus. He sends you to hell because you don't accept the finished work of Christ. And not giving is a sin. Because hoarding up money is a covenant. Hoarding up money is selfish. Hoarding up money is a form of a worship. And that's why giving is a matter of an attitude versus an act. Because it strictly says where is your heart? Where your treasure is. Sometimes that's where your heart is. Where your heart is where your treasure is. So God had to address the people as to why they weren't giving. In the sixth verse there, you read it, it says, For God says, I am the Lord. And I like this verse. It says, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. So God says, I am the Lord. I did not change none of my commandments. I did not say anything different. I didn't say stop giving. God says, therefore, who told you to stop giving? O sons of Jacob. And see, when the Bible uses the word sons of Jacob, and I like this, y'all got to think about this. When the Bible uses the word sons of Jacob, it comes from a form of a woman having two sons, Jacob and Esau. The Bible says that God said in the beginning that Jacob I love, Esau I hate. It is not that God hated Esau, but love Jacob. It's just the fact is that what God was saying, I loved Esau, I love Jacob, and I hate Esau. What God was literally saying that God has chosen the generation of Jacob to carry on his commandments. That's all he was saying. So therefore, God has chosen the sons of Jacob to follow his commands. And God didn't say, stop giving. He just asked, why have they stopped? God says, return unto me, and I will return unto you. Then they say to God, then whence how we shall return? And what that literally means is, Lord, what area do I need to return back to? And there is an area of sacrifice, there is the area of offerings, there's the area of prayer, there's the area of tithes. But in this area, God was saying tithes and offerings. You have robbed me. See, anytime you err, God will always warn his people. And his warning is a sign of his love. God wanted them to get back to his ordinance and back to his commands. God says, return to my plan or else. Or else what? That is the big question. Some of y'all ever been married, husband and wife, or had a boyfriend and a girlfriend, and somehow the boyfriend cheats on you? He goes out there and sees another woman, or the woman goes out to see, but you find it more with men, right? Y'all gotta help me. It's more women here than the men, so. The Bible says that Hosea had to go out and get his wife. So I'm trying to help the women out. So it's very rare. But and y'all, let me say this and I'm going to move on. But it seems like every time you're in a relationship, the man, it's okay for the woman. No. It's okay for the man to cheat. But when the woman cheats on the man gets very upset. But it's okay for the man to do it. You want the man? We're not talking about relationships. But the husband, let's put it this term, the wife goes out. If the husband is cheating, the wife goes out in search to find out who this other woman is or who this other man is, what the case may be. She searches his phone. She finds out his text messages, find out where he's going, how many miles he put on the car. Y'all ever seen that? Find out how many miles he put on the car. Me, we will go real far to see a woman. We will. We'll go from here to Chicago. You'll go say, I'm going to see this woman. And I'll be back to work Monday morning, too. We will go real far. Woo! I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. No, not something I experienced, but just something I've seen people do. I've seen it. At the club. But God says to his people, return unto me or else. And what happened was, God was literally saying that is that they have no legitimate reason to leave God. No legitimate reason. So God had to reverse it and says, return unto me or else what? Or else what? God says, I will leave you. Because they totally stopped giving. So first of all, we talk about the situation of tithing. Then we talk about the address to the nation about tithing. Now the complication of not tithing. When you rob God, you rob from everybody else who invested in God. When Enron president stole from its company, they robbed from everybody who invested into Enron. Its employees, its investors, it's stockholders, it's shareholders. They rob from everybody who invested into them. When you rob God, you rob from everybody who put their trust in God. Not saying that God can't provide, but what I'm saying is that God uses the church and organizations as an avenue, you follow me? As an avenue to make the church a refuge for its people, for the homeless, for the needy, for the abused woman. There's a refuge, and when it's no longer there, where do they go? They turn to the what? Streets. They turn to other prostitute women or men who are abusive. And when people don't give their tithes or offerings to the church, the missionary work gets difficult. It gets tough. You have to cut radio program. You have to cut festivals. You have to cut workers. And the church actually solely depends on its supporters. We survived. The church survives off of you. This is why Paul had, when he started establishing churches, Paul asked and he took money from other churches to support the churches that couldn't do it. He had to do it. There are some churches that are struggling. And the fact is, the reason why some churches are struggling, and here's the key, because there are not too many people who are real committed to the church. They're not. Yes, we're glad to see you here. Yes, I'm glad that you're here. But the most important thing is that we need involvement. That's what it is. See, but not knocking, when you're tithe, that's a small portion of what you can do for the ministry. I mean, we can go very far of what you give. But we can't go far when you don't give. Your hand out is a hand up for someone else that was somebody else. See, it's not that God can't provide us money, and it's not that God can't provide us resources, but we got to understand that we have to be stewards over what God has given us. See, God is never in the Bible. You've never seen in the Bible that God robbed people. You've never seen that. Although there was one man, friends, that thought he did. Job. Job's friends come to Job and says, God is actually taking everything away from you. God is actually robbing everything from you that he's blessed you with. But they were wrong. They were wrong. And Job says, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. See, some people believe that Job was saying God gives it and God takes away. But what Job was actually saying is that the Lord willingly permits some things to be given to us. And God willingly permits some things to be taken from us. But see, Satan's whole desire was to depress the relationship between God and Job. He wanted to take it away. And the only way he could take it away is what? Take the things that he loved, that God blessed him with. Did y'all not know that most of your politicians don't pay taxes? They don't. President Obama never did complain about taxes. Because you know why? He don't play. But he did try to help us, so I can agree with that. But in Matthew the 17th chapter, Jesus made an interesting statement about politicians and paying taxes. Jesus said in Matthew the 17th chapter in the 24th and the 26th verse, Jesus says, Peter, does the king of the earth collect taxes from his own sons or others? And Peter thought about it, and Peter says, from others. And Jesus said, you answered right, because the king don't want to offend his friends, don't want to offend his sons. The president is so high up in office that you can't even really tell that what type of check he gets. If he shows you a check, you could be looking at charity. You don't know. You could be looking at a false statement. You don't know how much he's making. So first of all, we talk about the situation of tithing. Then we talk about the destination of tithing. Then we talk about the complication of not tithing. Now we're going to talk about the application of tithing. God wants you and us to pay our taxes, our property tax, sale tax, federal tax, state tax. The Bible says, render unto Caesar what's due unto Caesar. Because God wants us to do that. Giving to them what's due to them. But when we give to God cheerfully, you're actually giving no thought of hoarding your possessions. See, when God gives to you, hold it in your hands and not your heart. Because when God comes back to get it, it's not a struggle for him to take it from you. I don't care how much money you have. It's not about having money. Then when I lost my job, I didn't have much money. And the Lord taught me is that it's not how much money you have. It's not. I would love to be rich. Love to be rich. But I found out one thing. I don't have to be rich. Because all I can do is I want the wisdom and the knowledge to handle money versus then to have money. Because if I handle the money that I have, I'll have more than I can handle. That's the key. You can work at McDonald's and own a house. It's managing or being a steward of what you have. That's all it is. So what happens if I give? Or what happens if I don't give? As I said before, you sinned against the Almighty God, because that's what God obeys, that God wants us to do. God still loves you. He just don't like what you're doing. Even though, especially if you're financially able to do it, he just don't like it. And I know there are some people who are not financially able, and that's understand. You just have to pray to God that God will make a way for you to give. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with saying, I can't give this time because I'm paying child support. Like I am paying child support and everything, but that still doesn't obligate me from not giving. So what would happen to me, and this is what I wanted to get to. What would happen to me if I give to God? What would happen? Does anybody, I don't know if I want to pose this question towards everybody. So what would happen? What would I get in return if I give to God? Let me show an example. Will I receive money from God? What do y'all think? Just keep it in your mind, you know. Now, if I drop this, if there's real money, somebody will jump down here and get it. Now don't say y'all don't care nothing about money. Will I receive money? Okay, well then if you don't believe that, will I receive long life if I give? Suppose, okay, well, let's move on. What if I give my tithes and offering? Will I receive healing from God? What do you think? Just think about it. Just think. If I start dropping Band-Aids, y'all know y'all going to go up here and grab some Band-Aids, right? Y'all want to be healed. No, just joking. But what about, I don't know if you can read this, prosperity. You know, Kenneth Copeland teach prosperity gospel. That if you give $100, God will give you $1,000. And T.D. Jakes teach the same thing. He teaches that if you give $1,000, God will give you $2,000. Will I receive this? It's a question. Let me throw one more. Will I receive wealth? The finest cause. You know, house that I always dreamed of. God will make a way. Somebody will go bankrupt and God might sign a house over to me. Did that happen to you? Just got a house. Is it because you gay? So what will I receive if I give to God? Does anybody want to stand up and tell me what will we see? It's easy. You can't miss it. What will I receive if I give my tithes and offering to God? Does anybody want to stand up and tell me? I'm looking at you, Brother Moore. You already got it? Okay. You may got what I'm about to say. If I give my tithes and offering to God, what will I receive? Abraham said it right. Abraham had it right to the T. Guess what he said? I want favor with God. That's all I want. Favor with God. Abraham said twice to God. Abraham said, when he saw an angel coming towards his tent, Abraham said, my Lord, if I find favor in your eyesight, don't pass me by. Don't pass my tent by. And he ran in the house and told his wife, Sarah, get the finest club, fix something together, get it together, and let's hurry up and feed them. Favor with God. And Abraham said again, when it came to Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham said, Lord, if I find favor in your eyesight, would you spare the city? God says, yeah, I'll spare the city. And he went down from 40 to 10. Because I prefer favor with God. And the reason why I prefer favor with God, because listen, when I go, favor with God goes with me. When I come, favor with God goes comes with me. When I'm far and near, favor stays right here. I'll take favor with God than anything else in this world. And the reason why, because when I lose it all, I've gained it all. I gained favor with God. No wonder I can lose. I lost my job. My job actually closed up. Lost my job for a whole year. Didn't have no income. Had to go work for a tip service. God has found favor with me. Took care of me. Favor with God go far. Oh, God. It's more than just riches. It's more than just health. It's more than just anything. Because listen, when I have favor with God, if I tithe on my offering, I don't care how God blesses me. He's going to see that need, and he's going to bless me however it needs. If I need money, he'll bless me with money. I'm not asking for money in return. He'll just give it to me. If I need health, God will just bless me with health. Why? Because I'm obeying your word. It's not about how much you give. It's about how much God wants to give to you. The Bible says that he'll supply all your needs according to his riches. The Bible says that seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Listen, all it's saying is this, that, listen, if I'm a servant of God and God is the king, if I go to the king and I obey what the king does, everything that the king wants, what is it that the king would withhold from me? There's nothing that he would withhold from me. As long as I'm obeying your word, what is it that I want you to do? See, when you give, you're giving to us, through us, with somebody else. So therefore, we're partners. We're in this together. The Bible says that Christ paid the price. The debt is paid. Your balance is now zero. No one can charge you for an or add interest to a balance that's paid off. You can't do that. And so, although Satan tried to come and accuse you, but the Bible says that God is going to look at it and say, not guilty. You can't. But see, when I invest in God, I'm investing in the highest interest that there is. And see, when I give to God, no one else, that is one of the best and the wisest investments I ever made, because I'm investing in the lives of people. Did y'all not know in the book of Genesis that Joseph actually, God actually instituted taxation. Instituted. That's when the taxes first began, because God actually instituted it. When Pharaoh was saying, when there was a famine that's going to be upon the land, and I don't have to go through the whole story because I'm losing my voice. When the famine was upon the land, and the Bible says that Pharaoh had a dream. He had a dream of seven lean cows and seven fat cows. And that meant for 7 years of plentiful and 7 years of famine. And God actually instituted the taxation of law by this. Let me say this, and I'm going to close. When we all went through that financial crisis in 2007, 2008, and I think that God has actually taught us some things in there. Some of us learned something, some of us didn't. But I believe that God wanted to teach us that, first of all, is maybe God is probably showing us how selfish our nation is and how covetous our nation is, how greedy our nation is. And the second thing is that I believe that God is giving us an opportunity to invest in the kingdom of God, because we've lost our minds investing into things that we can't really control. We have. And our thirdly reason I believe that we went through this, because maybe that God is giving us a glimpse of what can happen to our social society, Medicare, Medicaid, and stock markets when it just plummets. We don't know. So we don't know. We just know that God holds all, and God is all. So when these things plummet, we know that we can fall and trust on God. I trust on God rather before it even happens. The Bible says that in the 10th verse, the Bible says in the Malachi, the 10th verse, it says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food for my house. And try me, he says, try me and know this, says the Lord of the hosts. I will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you have no room to receive it. See, all our help comes from God. Let us pray. Father, help us today. Lord, help us from the White House down to the crack house. Lord, help us to understand that everything is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Lord, there's nothing that we brought into this world, and anything we're not going to take anything out. For you own it all, Father. We own nothing. Father, we are mere stewards of what you have given us, Father. Oh, help us today, Father. Christ invested in me on the cross, and I want to invest in the kingdom of God to reach out to the lost. Oh, Father, bless those who are not able to give like they should, Father. Father, we know that you will make a way for them to be able to give, Father, to bless the ministry, to extend a hand out to those, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Doors of the church is now open. We extend an invitation to Christ. Doors of the church is now open. Amen. Let us all stand. To him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever.